Have you ever been part of a church fight? They can be some of the worst battles because everyone thinks that God is on their side. The church in Corinth was falling apart. Divisions and rivalries were threatening the witness of Christ. Pastor Jonathan here, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul addresses the divisions tearing the church apart. Verse 1, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready." When Paul first came to Corinth, he taught them the basics of salvation, what Paul calls milk. Unfortunately, the Corinthians were so fixated on rhetorical brilliance, they believed that they were ready for the deeper things of the gospel, when they hadn't even put into practice the basics that they had been taught. They wanted meat, but couldn't even swallow milk. Now, it's important to remember that the meat that the Corinthians wanted was not some deeper truths that they needed to be initiated into. Instead, they were the same truths Paul had already taught, just taken to a deeper level. Every doctrine taught in seminary can be taught to children, just using different words. You can understand that Jesus died for your sins without a complete understanding of propitiatory atonement. You can understand Jesus becoming a man without understanding the depths of the hypostatic union. And you can understand that Jesus is coming back to earth without taking a course in eschatology. Paul was writing to believers, but they were believers who had stopped growing. Verse 3, "You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere human beings?" The church was filled with jealousy, strife, and divisions. They had been justified by Christ, but they had not been partaking in sanctification, the daily cleansing process where the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and strengthens us to overcome it. The Corinthians had problems with their relationships with each other, which showed that they had a problem in their relationship with God. The believers were trying to prove that they were right because they followed the right leader, but Paul corrects them in verse 5. "What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." When farmers plant seeds and water crops, they're not making them grow. All a farmer does is provide the right environment for growth. The seed contains all that is needed to grow. Paul and Apollos were nothing more than farmers working in God's field. Paul planted the seed of faith. Apollos watered it, but the Holy Spirit made the Christian grow. Workers in God's field are all on the same team. We all work together, even if we will be rewarded individually. But our reward is not based on the gifts and talents or offices that we hold. Instead, our reward is based on our faithfulness to what God has called us to do. Switching metaphors now, Paul describes the church as a building. Verse 10, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." As a master builder, Paul not only laid the church's foundation, but taught others how to build on that foundation. Paul makes it clear that he wasn't the foundation, Jesus was. No matter how good a church's pastor is, no matter how amazing the worship is, no matter how cool the building looks, if the foundation is not Jesus Christ, it's simply not a church. Verse 12, "If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Anyone who builds up a church better check the quality of their building materials. Gold, silver, stone, wood, hay, stubble, they all have their purposes, but not all are useful in building God's church. Some people build with lasting materials, and others, not so much. The lasting value of our building, our church, will be revealed through a testing of fire. Now, fire can destroy or purify, depending on the material. If we build up the body of Christ with precious metals and costly stone, the day of testing will reveal our work's lasting value. But if we build with poor materials, in the end, it'll be as if we did nothing. Many who think they will receive an excellent reward for their work will find only a pile of ash. And this passage is not just for pastors and church planters. It's for every believer. Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians 5 to tell us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The building here, Paul is describing the unified church. Later in the book, he'll call individual believers temples, but here we see the beauty of the church united. Verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Back in the day of Moses, the holiest place on earth was once the tabernacle, a tent in the middle of the wilderness. The presence of God dwelt within the Holy of Holies, the inner room of the tabernacle. Solomon later built a temple of stone and precious metal in Jerusalem for the glory of God to dwell, and it was the center of not just worship, but the very life of Israel. The Spirit of God chose the temple as the location of his earthly presence, until the day the Spirit of God descended upon the church. The Holy Spirit resides in the church today, and I'm not talking about the buildings, rooms, theaters, or school gymnasiums we meet in, but the people who meet in those rooms. The church, made up of all the people of God, is the temple today. And God says his temple is holy. Anyone who destroys it will be destroyed by God himself. Powerful words with a terrifying promise. And it's even scarier when you see what Paul means by destroying the church. He's not speaking in the passage of governmental power shutting down church buildings or of false religions persecuting believers. The promise of destruction is for those who cause division and chaos from within. Look at verse 21. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. It's easy for us to get excited about being around famous or influential people, especially when they're in the church. We often value the gifts and honors of man more than the gifts and honor that God bestows on us. The divisions that Paul is warning about will destroy the church, and judgment will come upon those who divide the body of Christ. That's it for chapter 3. Join us tomorrow for chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.